Glad to be here again.
As most of you know, hopefully, everything went well with our baby being born on Friday morning. I appreciate your guys' prayers for that. I thought of something really neat when I was coming to church that I could announce what the baby's name was. My name, the name I decided, not the name that we agree with. But then I remembered that she has a Facebook account and she could probably do a lot more damage
with that thing than I could in church this morning. So I won't announce you the name yet, but it should be my name. It was my turn. She said it was. She said, I'll name the first one, you name the second one. Well, when I go name the second one, that was not the truth. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up, please, to Psalms 48. But really, I do appreciate your guys' love offering for me last week and for your prayers for us. Everything went really well, kind of fast. And it was just was easy for me, of course, but a lot of peace. Anyways, appreciate it very much. Psalms 48, we're going to read verses 12 through 14. Psalms 48, 12 through 14. It says, walk about Zion, go around about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here. Let's help those who are sick and those who are getting sick. Please help us to get over this thing quickly and help us give us strength, Lord. And I ask that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives today, this Sunday, that we would hear from you and that we would be different for the better, Lord, because of this Lord's Day today. And ask these things, that you would be glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope everybody came here to come out, to go back home different, right? Sure, our pets want us to come back different. Our kids want us to come back different. Our spouses probably want us to come back different. So that's why we came to church, right? Okay. Well, as it says here, then verse 12 says, walk about Zion, go round about her, and tell the towers thereof. So one time I got to go to Israel, actually two times, and I never gotten to go to Jerusalem by myself. I always wanted to go to Jerusalem. Well, I was babysitting these kids, these really, really bad kids, for a really long time. And finally, there was going to be a time when my sister was all better. She had just had a baby, and I was just going to go out the house, and I was going to storm every coffee shop and bread shop. They have best bread in the world down there. And so I said, you know what? I really want to go take the train to Jerusalem. Well, the train doesn't go all the way up to Jerusalem. The train goes close to Jerusalem, but not all the way up. Jerusalem, if you read the Bible, you know it's up on a hill. It's kind of high. And so found out how to do it. My brother-in-law said he'd take me to the train station real early, and so he took me to the train station, got on there, had my money, and got on the train, and got as close to Jerusalem you can on the train. He said, once you get off the train, then you go to the bus stop, and you wait for buses to go to the old city. And so I did. I got to the bus stop, and every bus that came by, I'd say, old city. They would say no. And they'd kind of mutter, stupid gringo, or something, is what it seemed like they were saying. It's my imagination, probably. And the next one, same thing. I was getting very irritated about looking like a dumb tourist, for one thing, which I hate looking like, and for, you know, not be able to find out how to get there. Well, finally I decided, you know what? I'm going to march to Zion. Got my phone out, and I had this little app that had the map all downloaded, and I knew where all could see where I wanted to go, and just pointed it just like a really smart compass.
And I marched up there. It took a lot, about 3 miles each way. And got to spend the whole day walking around the walls of Jerusalem and looking at everything. And had a really good time. And so, but it says right here, it's not talking about this here though, in verse 12. It says, walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof. What do you think it could mean when it's talking about walking about Zion? Say that we should all go take a pilgrimage like all the other people in the world do. You know, that's how they do it in these Middle Eastern countries. Everybody gets a, once in their life, they get to take one free tour to Mecca. They all get to take their pilgrimage to Mecca. The government actually sponsors for it. But, you know, there's these laws, and some of them, not all of them, that, you know, well, what do we do for the Christians? Well, they pay for a free pilgrimage for them to go to Jerusalem. So, not to be biased, you know. But like in Africa, you actually go to Jerusalem, you'll see all these Africans and their things, and like, how did they ever get the money to come here? Well, it's a government sponsor thing because they had to pay for the Muslims, so they got to pay for the ones that are supposedly Christians as well. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's not telling us that we all need to go make a pilgrimage to Zion. Go tell the towers thereof. Could it be that's talking about that we need to really walk about our faith, to examine our faith, go around about it, to check it out? Do you think that's probably what it's talking about here? I really believe it is. I'm sure of it. It says, go about it, circle it, check the whole thing out, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces. All this thing is talking about is checking out the foundations of our faith, the defenses of our faith. It's talking to young men here, talking about young ladies, anybody who has influence over their siblings, any father, me, has influence over their kids. It's saying it's essential for you to check out your faith. Why it is you believe what you do. It says here to walk, to count the towers. What does it mean to count the towers of our faith? That doesn't make any sense here. Well, what I brought here, I'm
a missionary with a box now. Guys, anybody know what missionary with a box means? No? Anybody ever listen to Otto Koning?
A couple of you. Oh. Otto Koning, he was a missionary to Papua New Guinea. And he had this problem of everybody robbing his house. They'd come over and they'd steal things and they'd take their house, and so he would go to their houses with a big box and go collect his stuff again, and he got the famous title of being the missionary with the box. So, the missionary with the box. Well, I brought an illustration today to show us how we need to count the towers of our faith. It says here, doesn't just say count it. If you say here, the next part says, mark ye well her bulwarks. Hammer down your beliefs. Get them figured out. Make sure you figure out why you believe the way you do. Then it says, consider her palaces. Now, this word palaces here means it's not talking about a big palace. It's actually talking about like the keep or the castle or the stronghold. You know how a castle is built? You got, you know, the outer part, the inner part, and then you have the very center part. That's usually where the king lives. It's called the castle or the keep, right? That's what that word palaces actually means. That ye may tell it to the generation following. So, I want to explain this last part. It says to consider the palaces thereof. Because I got this thing here. I built the castle. I asked Missy if I could use some of her boards. And I built this castle here. And
It's built up in two pieces. It's got a gate and a tower.
I really don't like this platform.
I guess everybody can see it. Maybe over here. Got a gate and a tower. Let's leave that one there for now.
Okay.
And the gate represents an entrance into our lives. The tower, one of God's defenses that He gave us in the Bible to defend that gate. Everybody understand? Yeah.
Okay. Now the first one, this is not in order. This is how
I want to explain this area about consider the palaces thereof.
First it said, what was the first part? It said, walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces. There's three things it's saying. They walk about it, tell the towers, actually four things, mark her bulwarks, and consider her palaces.
So we walk around our faith, checking out why Daddy believes the way he does, or why Grandpa believed the way he did, or why our church believes that. And we check this whole thing out. We figure out why it is, why we believe what we believe. Now, most of us here are in a conservative church. Most of us here believe the way we believe it because we're pretty sure that's the right way. People just don't have conservative churches everywhere. I mean, that's kind of hard to come by. People that are in a conservative church have researched, have costed something. It costed something to be able to have these beliefs that they have. As you notice, benches aren't full. It's not a common thing that everybody's just flooding into to come. You go to other churches. I mean, Alex went to lots of churches down there. There are just churches everywhere with these great big drum sets, the people coming in there. But you go to the Baptist churches and so I understand that this, what it's talking about here in these three verses, are something that we have done before. Totally understand that. But it's saying here to consider her palaces. Now, these are not in order. The way I set them up and this castle that I built, it's not in any order as priorities. But God's saying here to consider the priorities. Consider which one's more important. To consider which towers we're actually going to defend for all they're worth, or which towers or which sentinel stations or readouts are more as probes out there, the early warning systems to when the enemy comes. You know, we can come back and regroup and we can tell when it's coming. Which, it says, consider her palaces. It's saying, come with me, kid. We're going to check out our castle. We're going to find out why these defenses are here. Why Grandpa built this tower here. Why we have this defense here for when they attack from that side. Why we have this defense here for when they attack from that side. And it says, walk around it and check all these things out, that you may tell it to the generation following. And I really believe that this part, last part, consider palaces, it's like saying, you know, consider why we have what we have where. It's not like, you know, let's call every able-bodied man out here to this readout station when the enemy comes and we leave the whole palace completely deserted. No, it's not saying that. It's saying, you know, consider which ones are essential, which ones we are going to split hairs over, which ones we are going to say, you know what? We're going to come back to that in a little bit, but first we got to fight this battle right here. I believe that's what it's saying right here. Don't have to agree with me. So I have a couple of these things set up here, and to ensure continued love offerings for future sites, I decided to put up some of our towers that we believe here in this church. Very political of me. So the first one is something that I don't think we really have a problem with. At least I hope not. It's
music, the gate of music and entertainment. Okay? And we set up a tower in this church of godly music and hopefully entertainment that does not provide for the flesh. Maybe a few exceptions. We have another one here. Should be strong in every church. We have the gate here of eternity. The gate here of eternity. And what tower do we use to defend ourselves in the day of eternity? Kids, what do we believe in? We believe in what around here? The gospel? Everybody hear the gospel? What's the gospel? Need some kid. Tell me what the gospel is for a chance to win. Five of these. Guys, tell me what the gospel is. Chance to win five of these. God's word as explaining about eternity, though. What does God's word say? It starts with a G. What's the gospel, though? That's what I said. I said, what was the gospel, right? Gospel is that Jesus what?
Died on the cross.
And that he what?
Buried.
And that he what?
Rose again.
I think it's Dale 5. I think it's Dale. I think the Lord's calling you guys to Guatemala. Your sister up here, daughter, already has 20, I believe. These things aren't exactly cheap either. So, yeah, the gate of eternity. And we defend that one with what? The gospel, right? We have another one here. Really, really hard one in our church, I know. It's really tough. The gate of dress, right? And what do we defend that gate with in our here? Can't even see that one. I have to move it over here. It's going to be a double-tiered castle. With modest dress, godly dress, right? And we can go in the verses. We don't have time really to go into all those verses. I have another one here. Talks about the gate of decisions. We got the gate of decisions here. And how do we figure out what God wants us to do? How do we make wise decisions? And what? And devotions. Hearing from God's word. Asking the Lord direction every morning. Lord, how do you want me to glorify you today? What is it that you have planned for me to do? And we defend that gate of decisions with the tower, or the fort tower, of our devotions. I have another one here. The gate of finances. See, I reuse my packs. We got the tower, the gate, excuse me, of finances. And how do we defend that gate? It's what the Bible says about tithe and mission. Now, all this stuff comes from the Bible. That's why it's a tower, all right? That's what it's talking about here. It says, go about your faith, walk around it, check it out. Why is it that we believe these things? What? So that we can what? What does it say here? That ye may what? Tell it to who? Generations following. Now, I understand that that's one of the core beliefs in this church. Raising up a godly heritage. A heritage of kids grow up to be young men that are on fire for the Lord. That want to do things right. That not the mainstream churches that are just doing things because it's easy to go that route. That's what the world's going. It's easy to shuttle them down that path. We're doing things a little bit different here. But the scripture's saying that we need to walk about our faith, to count the towers thereof, figure out why it is we believe these things, figure out which ones are core beliefs that we have got to get a hold of, and we have to do. And other things that you say, you know what? We're going to. That's a really good point right there. And, you know, but you know what? Maybe there's some things that we need to focus on a little bit more importantly than that. None of them are up here right now.
These are all really good scriptural, really important core beliefs that we hold to, right? Now, I have another one here. It's the gate of blank. It's the gate of whatever you and I, or whatever the Holy Spirit has been prompting you about in your life as an area in your life, but is it protected? Is there some area, some gate in our faith that we are not protecting? Now, like I said, all these ones are very core beliefs. They're very important. There's more up here that I could have put up here. I had a list of more. I didn't want to fill the whole place up with boards and draw pictures all night, draw castles all night. But are we counting our towers? Are we telling our kids, you know what, kid? This is why we believe this. This is so important that you understand why we are defending this area of our life. You know what? Grandpa, or great-grandpa, or uncle so-and-so, or who knows? Their life, it turned out in such a mess. And so, for our family, son, daughter, we decided to build this tower here to defend against that area in our life. I hope that makes any sense. Amen? Okay. I want to show you something here. The same passage in Psalms 48, verse 8. It says here, as we have heard, so have we what? Seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. It says, as we have heard, so have we seen. That's a very important part for us. Me as a father. So if my kids, what they hear, then what? They see. So if I go preaching to my kids, having devotions every morning, I start telling them about this tower. About this tower that we have. It's got to defend against that gate. And they see in my life that tower just totally. I'm just going to pick this. I'm not picking on anybody, okay? I'm just picking. Closest to me. They see, you know, some big fracture in that tower. They say, you know what? As Daddy's been saying, we don't see it. It says right here, as we have
heard, so have we seen in the city of our Lord.
Wasn't it great with the example that we have of the Queen of Bathsheba, Queen of Sheba
in there somewhere.
The Queen of Sheba, she came to Jerusalem and she saw all these wonderful things. She, you know what I heard about in my country, about this awesomeness of you, King Solomon, and your city and your palace and everything. But when I got here, it's like double what I heard. It is incredible what she had heard. Wasn't even anything in comparison to what she saw. Wouldn't that be great if it could be said about us as parents? Like my dad, you know, he talked a lot about that. But when you saw him in action, you gotta be kidding me. They'll flabbergast you out how sensitive he is to sin in that area, or how much zeal he has for the Lord in that other area. Like that tower. It looks tough, but it really is tough. It has some serious defense mechanisms there. But wouldn't it be ironic if we have a castle, imagine this castle actually all the way surrounded of our core beliefs that we have, things that we put our defenses up for our family, for our church, but in some area, anywhere, I won't even pick one. We just completely leave the gate completely open. We have these massive fortifications in certain areas. But in this one area, we completely just leave it wide open. We don't even build anything there.
we have Satan who walketh about us as a roaring lion. He sees that. Think, oh, I'm going to go attack that great big tower right there. No. He's going to find that weak spot in our chain. He's going to charge at that point.
Amen.
Anybody here ever hear of the Maginot Line?
Maginot Line? Only Brother Dale? Okay.
Well, Maginot Line, when the Germans signed, I'm sure most of you guys know, Germans signed in World War I, they surrendered, they had an armistice, said, we're not going to fight you guys anymore, we're going to go back home, and we're going to, we're just going to go back home, we're going to regroup, actually, and we're going to come back and a couple of decades later, and we're going to come fight it again. It's pretty much what they decided to do. And that's what happened in World War I. And the French were thinking, oh boy, we better do something quick. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to line our border with some massive fortifications. We're going to have these guns pointing at Germany. We're going to have all these rows of bunkers set up. We're going to have state-of-the-art living quarters in there. We're going to man those places, and we're going to be ready for when the Germans come. And they did just that. They built, it cost them 3 billion francs. I was doing some research last night. Cost them 3 billion francs to build this Maginot Line. And they had pretty much the whole vulnerable part of France covered. The really bad part. The areas next to their neighbors, they decided, no, we're just going to keep our army up there because they're not really the bad guys. The Germans are the bad guys. We're going to, along our borders with Germany, with that, we're going to defend. Okay, they defend that whole area except for one point. One point they decided not to defend. It was this place called the Ardennes Forest, I think how you pronounce it. And they said, I'm going to try to do a French accent. No, it's too rocky. It's too hard, too many trees there. There's no way them Germans are being able to get their tanks through here. Not even going to bother putting up through. That forest is so dense, so thick, rocks, cliffs, everything. They're not going to get through there with any tanks. Well, where do you think the Germans attacked? Right there at the Ardennes Forest. Came in through there. I don't know if they brought chainsaws or what all they did, but they came through there, and their guns that they had pointed at Germany didn't spin, because who would have thought, you know, well, if we make them spin, then they're going to get on those guns and start shooting France. Well, they didn't spin all the way around. Germans came in through the back and just walked right down that line and took over the whole thing. France surrendered a little bit later after that. They're a huge investment to defend France because of one weak point. They lost it all. How sad it would be. We put up all these defenses, but we leave a certain area uncovered. That's just what happened with the Pharisees. The Bible talks about they strained out gnats, but they swallowed what? Camels. They had these huge defenses. I mean, they were ready against... They had their hygiene down. I mean, washing, I don't know what it was, 7 times before they did. You had the marriage at Cana. They had all these traditions for keeping themselves clean but outside, they were clean, but inside, what? The Bible's talking about full of dead man's bones. And how sad it would be, us as a Christian. We have these defenses, but we leave one area uncovered. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. I've said a passage here I've been wanting to preach for a while. But if we could just look at this gate that we have. Are all our gates covered? Because it would just be terribly ironic to have our family protected in so many areas, but we leave one area undone. And like I said, I know this is a conservative church. We have a lot of these things down. But maybe someone could say, you know what? Maybe one of my towers is kind of deteriorating a little bit. Maybe it needs some work. Maybe I've been leaving that tower
in disrepair for a little bit. Maybe it's time that I repair that tower a little bit. Or maybe someone would say, you know, there's a gate in my life that it's totally unprotected. I haven't even thought about covering that area of my life. Maybe you could say, well, maybe there's certain areas that I'm emphasizing all of my manpower in one area or certain areas, but I'm leaving another area uncovered. Maybe it's time that I re-strategize a little bit. I don't know what it is. I know some areas in my life that I need to re-strategize. I know there's some areas in my life that I need to work on my tower a little bit. I need to make it a little bit stronger. I got two kids coming, growing up, and they need to have a well-protected family. Are they not? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Father, that you'd please help us to walk about our faith, to check these things out, to get these areas nailed down that are maybe we don't have quite nailed down. Maybe there's some areas, Lord, that we need to re-strategize a little bit. And Lord, please help us, because our generation, it's following us, their eyes are on us, Lord. Help them to see what they hear from us in this church. Help them to see that we do what we preach, Lord, and that you would be glorified, and that Satan wouldn't get advantage in this church or in our families in any way, Frank. And just want to give a quick invitation, just because I'm up here, maybe while the piano's playing, and